You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
About my history, neck. Don't know much about biology. Don't know much about the science boom, neck. Don't know much about the French I've been to. All I do know is I love you, neck. And I wonder if you love me too. Oh, what a wonderful world this can be.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a smooth soul Monday. That's when my man Patrick plays jams intended to soothe the tortured soul of sports fans who may have had a tough weekend. We'll get to a really good weekend for Texas baseball. We'll get back to that conversation coming up in the 6 o'clock. But speaking of baseball, Hardball Harge has Harsh Knock Life coming up next. What you got for the people?
I'm going to talk a little bit about this Texas baseball team as well as the Texas Rangers. Mm. What they have been able to do. Because guess what, folks? It is June, and the Rangers are still in first place. Wow.
Astros.
Go Astros!
In
they creep
place.
They creep.
They are creeping.
Lowest ERA in baseball right now.
Yes, sir. ERA.
So the Rangers have the best bats in baseball, and the Astros have the best pitching in baseball, basically?
That's what it seems like. It
looks like right now.
They are scoring
crazy.
A lot of runs in the
they
state
have.
Of Texas. We love baseball
I'll
in the state
what,
of Texas.
That'll make for a fun matchup this season.
Oh, no doubt.
Best hitters versus the best pitchers.
I love it. I can't wait.
Man, the Rangers. Are the Rangers the biggest surprise in baseball this year?
You would think initially.
They
got to
play
the
Rays actually coming up this
weekend. I think it's this week. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Well, the thing about it is I think the Rays are a team that everybody was thinking was going to be there. I thought at the beginning of the year that the Rangers were going to be in the mix, but I wasn't expecting them to hit this big of a stride that quick.
Yeah. No, they spent the money.
Yeah, let's put the fact. Baltimore is above the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Red Sox.
Baltimore is. Yeah, that would be
Baltimore. The worst team in baseball last year.
Yeah.
Is 37-22.
I think Brandon Hyde didn't get named up.
That is the biggest surprise in baseball right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
I agree with you on that. I don't disagree with that at all. All right, so we'll get to some baseball discussion coming up next in Harge Knock Life. You want to stick around for that. Congratulations are in order, and maybe not just yet, but certainly in the on the decorated resume of Michael Huff, who is one of the greatest players, legendary lifetime long, one of the greatest players in Texas football history. He is now nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm still trying to get the number of college. I don't know if there's an exact number every year, the same number every year. So I'm not sure. I'll find that out and figure it out. But they got a while because they got to trim down, just narrow down these choices. But he is one of the candidates or at least one of the nominees for the College Football Hall of Fame this year. It is, I will say, it's a hell of a
class, yeah.
That he's in with, man. They got some. I want to know what the number is because that'll be a big factor in determining whether he's going to make it. I bet Randy Moss is in this class, or at least among these nominees. Julius Peppers, Michael Vick is on this list too.
Yep,
it's pretty loaded.
This is one of my favorite times because. I was fortunate enough to be invited to the College Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony for lifetime Longhorn, legendary lifetime Longhorn, Kenneth Sims. And when the class, there were two classes that were inducted because it was right after COVID, right? So the initial, it was supposed to be in New York City, but they ended up changing it to Las Vegas. So they ended up putting two classes together. But there was a lot. And when I say
a lot
of people that were inducted, there was quite a few.
Okay, that's good.
The one caveat that I believe has happened quite a few times is because of the fact they don't try to put two people from the same school in at the same time.
Avoid that.
We got Derrick Johnson going in this year, and then you have Michael Huff on the list. Dan Neal was on the list before as well.
I know. I feel bad for Dan Neal.
So there was time when he was going in. And it's like, man, you're going in. You can't go in with Kenny. You can't go in with B.Y.
Derrick Johnson.
You know, can't go in with DJ. Yeah. So there's just certain people. And Dan, you know, we've talked about Dan before and what he means to this university. But you're going to try to figure out how to get these in. And it's a tough right. thing to pick from.
It's a lot of guys. So being nominated, I mean, like I said, Michael Vick, Peter Warwick.
Yep.
Is on this list. Two of nominees, Terrell Suggs. Takell Spikes, really good player. Kevin Smith, the cornerback in the NFL. Really, Alex Smith,
number
one overall pick.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's kind of a who's who. Simeon Rice is on here. Antoine Randall L, really good players. Michael Orr.
Yep. Tony Romo went in with Kenny Sims. They were sitting right next to each other.
Yeah, because Tony Romo won. What is the equivalent? Is it the Walter Payton?
It's the Walter Payton.
Is it the Walter Payton?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Is that what it's called?
I think one double A, right?
Heisman at that level, whatever, to be the best player. I think it's. I could be wrong about
FCS
that.
FCS or whatever it was. Yeah.
Terrence Newman is also Kellen Moore.
Yep.
Also, this Marshawn Lynch and Ryan Leaf. There are a lot. I mean, it's packed. So I can believe you. Like you said, it was a sizable group that was nominated.
We was there for a while, bro. We were there.
So
Hump
Daddy's in then. Yeah. Hump Daddy's, there's no question he's in. I mean,
with his accolades and being a Thorpe Award. Yeah.
Hump Daddy's in.
So also, that's not on the list that we are privy to, but also there, you know, we were just talking about the 1AA, the FCS version.
Yeah.
Claude Mathis is on the list as well from Texas State, Southwest Texas at that time. And he's on the ballot that was released this morning. He was there from 1993 to 97 when the Bobcats were part of the 1AA level. And he is the only Bobcat that is on the current list. So it is going to be something, too. Because here's the criteria for those that are always asking, how do you get on that list?
Justin Blackman's on there.
And that's another guy. Justin Blackman was a freak. He was a freak.
Dude, he won the Biletnikoff twice.
Yes.
Twice.
Two times.
Like, what the? Twice.
He's like Ric Flair. 16-time champion. You know what I'm saying? So, but here's how you do it. A player must receive first-team All-American recognition by the selector that is recognized by the NCAA and utilized to compromise for all-American teams. A player becomes eligible 10 full seasons after his last year of playing football.
Okay.
So in addition to all that, you got all kinds of citizenship, too. You got to be a good citizen as well. So they got to make sure that you are vetted by that time.
Once you're in, you're in, right? They can't
that's what I'm saying, up until that point.
So OJ's still in there.
OJ's still in there, dog.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he was accused. He was acquitted on that, man.
He still went to jail for kidnapping.
He stole his college football Hall of Fame stuff back.
Yeah, he got all that stuff
His Heisman,
back.
Too, right?
His Heisman. Somebody had his Heisman. He kicking in those like Sid B used to when they took his TV. Sid was going to get his TV, dog. But yeah. So that is the other part. And here's the other caveat. For all the coaches that are on the list as well,
okay.
Remember, there might be an exception coming up for Mike Leach.
Yeah, because he hasn't won 60%
of his games.
I think he's at 59.
Yeah, like as close as you could possibly be.
I think if you round up, he would be there. Yeah. Like a little 59.5 or something.
Yep.
But that's a good point, too, about the Mike Leach. If he can't be in the College Football Hall of Fame, then your Hall of Fame loses a lot of credibility.
A lot of street cred is gone.
You better make some exception, put a loophole in there or something.
Yep.
This is my story about Huff Daddy, just really quickly.
I love it.
And it's not necessarily a story about Huff Daddy. Huff Daddy was fantastic here as a player, and everybody remembers how great he was. But when I came to Texas in 1999, man, the Big 12 was a very different league. And, hell, man, they were still running triple option in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
When I came into the Big 12, I had to defend the triple option as a nickelback when I came into the league and we played Nebraska. And then, speaking of, Mike Leach. Like Mike Leach comes along with Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops saw that air raid offense when he was the DC at Florida. He saw it when he played Kentucky and said to himself, anytime I become a head coach, I'm bringing that offense with me. Yep. My defense is unstoppable. That offense, that's the only offense that's ever made stupefied me.
Gave me problems.
All right? Yeah. Gave me nightmares at night trying to figure out how to stop the air raid. So he brought it with him to Oklahoma, and when he came in 1999, Mac was here in 98 already, that was also the year, that's the only year I beat Oklahoma, that was also the year that Mike leased up the dummy script.
Yep.
For Tom Herman and company, and they found it. That's how we ended up down double digits in that
quickly.
Game. Because Carl Burris and company were following the dummy script, and finally, the dummies realized it was a dummy script, and we are the dummies. All right, and then Texas ended up winning that game. But I digress. That was, you know, the beginning of the air raid into the Big 12, and then Mike Leach goes to Texas Tech, and then the next year they win the national title, running the air raid offense in Bob Stoops' second year. And in 2000, and I think it was coincidence, a confluence of things. But Coach Mac Brown brings in Coach Dwayne Aquina and tasks him with figuring out a way to match up with Oklahoma's new air raid. It's like, man, we got to figure out a way to match up to this, all right? Because if we don't, they about to take over the Big 12. They did it anyway. But we won't have any way to combat it. And Coach Aquina has a brilliant idea. He says, you know what? I'm only going to put guys on the field that can cover, because the one thing that air raid will expose if you can't cover. Now, everybody's got to be able to tackle. Everybody's got to be able to cover. That's it. We're not going to have one guy that can just cover and one guy who's a great tackler. If you can't cover and you can't tackle, you can't be on the field. I need 5-2 DBs everywhere, which is why when he came in 2001, Everett Withers had left, they also started recruiting defensive backs, a different type of defensive back, guys like Huff Daddy. All right, in that class, that 01 class, you got Cedric Benson, you got DJ, and you got Huff Daddy. Huff Daddy and Derrick Johnson represented a change in philosophy for Texas defensively. And you'll notice after that, the defense started looking different.
Sure did.
Rob, you had big shoulder pads, clunky looking. Guys like Derrick Johnson and Michael Huff and Cedric Griffin, and see these long ranges, like these guys look like NFL players out there. When Robbie was playing, it was like me, Ahmad Brooks. Well, we played in the NFL.
Y'all had big shoulder pads.
We didn't look the part, you know what I mean?
Right.
But we were the part, because part of the transition when Coach Aquina came in, he took a safety in Quentin Jammer and moved him to corner. He took a corner in Ahmad Brooks and moved him to safety, and everybody thought he was crazy. It's like, so your corner is bigger than your safety? It doesn't make any damn sense. He put nasty Nathan Vasher, an athlete from high school, at safety and at nickel to try to figure things out, and he put me at corner, and essentially he had got everybody on the field could cover, everybody on the field could tackle. And three of those four guys played safety and corner. I just played nickel and corner. And that got – he was, I don't know if he knew he was on the verge of – he was on the verge of positionless football.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking for those types of players. And remember, Derrick Johnson was way ahead of his time. Derrick Johnson, when Derrick Johnson got to the NFL, the NFL hadn't caught up to Derrick Johnson's skill set yet. He got to the NFL and had most of his all-pro selections and also his Pro Bowl selections in the latter part of his career, because the NFL became a pace and space, spread offense league about 5 years after he was in the league. And the Big 12 was way ahead of that with the air raid and the pace and space. And that's ultimately, if you don't do that, you don't win the national title in 2005. Because that transition started recruiting defensive backs like Huff Daddy and Cedric Griffin, and hell, A. Ross is in that conversation too. Those guys were different. They were built different than the ones.
Terrell Brown.
Yeah. They were built different. I remember those guys in the DB room. But I remember the brainchild of Coach Aquina was, I'll figure out the RA. The RA wants to expose us by going four wide. All right, my safeties will be like corners, and my corners can tackle like safeties.
It's a beautiful thing.
If they need to. And that philosophy never stopped. And the zenith of that, the apex of that philosophy, that ideology, was Michael Huff. He embodied it all. He could play corner. He could play safety.
Didn't he run like a 4-3 too?
He could do, man, exactly. Like he was the perfect embodiment of that philosophy for Coach Dwayne Aquina, and that's why they weaponized him as a youngster, and he won the Thorpe Award.
And he was the one who made that tackle. Came in and hit Lindale White.
Yeah.
on the third and short.
Oh, man. Exactly.
Or fourth and short.
Because he could tackle.
Yep.
He could tackle. He can cover. There wasn't
Came downhill.
Yeah, there wasn't anything he couldn't do back there in the secondary. And an offense designed to exploit your vulnerabilities and your shortcomings, you just got to get well-rounded DBs out there. And Michael Huff was it. Like, I had a lot of shortcomings as a DB. I think most of the DBs I played with, except for, like, Nasty Nathan Vasher, had some sort of shortcoming, but he did not. Him and Nasty Nate were probably the two best DBs I've played with.
Yeah.
Like, they were just...
I was a big fan of Sed Griffin, too.
Sed G was nice. Sed G was nasty. Yeah. He was.
He had them long-ass arms.
Sed G was long and rangy. Yeah. Like I said, that... Yeah. And you're right. That was it also in that group.
Yep.
He came in at 0-1. I'm saying 0-1, you know, like I said.
Was that the part that changed it was. For the University
well, remember,
of
that's,
Texas?
That's the class right after Bob Stoops won the national title in his second year at Oklahoma. Yep. And everybody, all the boosters, donors, fans, and players, everybody starts looking at Mac Brown and going, you realize that guy just won a national title in his second year at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You need to speed it up.
Yeah.
Because Mac was a little comfortable then. You know, you had inherited a Heisman Trophy winner, had won 9 games in his first season. Mac's like, I'm doing pretty good here. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I think he competed for a Big 12 title already.
Hey, we're going to win 10 games. We're going to be good.
We're going to be good here,
guys.
We're going to do it. And then the Joker to your Batman wins a national title in his second year, and you go and blows you out, by the way.
Yes.
Sorry, blows us out, because I was a part of that
group. You were part of that team, right?
I distanced myself from that in 2000 in an embarrassing fashion, and everybody's looking at Matt going, you got an answer for that?
Yep.
Yep. And I think the biggest answer, there were a lot of moves made by Mac. The biggest answer was his change in philosophy defensively to face the air raid.
Yeah.
He had to come up with a really constructive way, a really evolutionary adaptation to the air raid. And it was the 5-tool DB and a simplistic version of positionless football. But you can go see it in the recruiting class.
Yeah.
Derrick Johnson. Right, Sedge Griffin. You talk about Sedge. Sedge looked like an avatar out there,
he did.
Walking around.
Just a freak
just
athlete,
a freak
man.
Huff Daddy. Like it just they changed the way that the athletes they were recruiting. Nothing against Rod B. Rod B. was a good athlete, but they stopped recruiting Rod B.
But I was gonna say you was already in, bro. You was already in.
I was already in, but
you was already
in. It was before the air raid.
Yep, it was before.
And once
it
they once they got in encounter with the air raid, they went, holy Chicago, we gotta do something, guys.
Yep.
If we go out there just trying out the same stuff we've been trying out there, we are going to get embarrassed again. And they changed it quick, fast, and hurry.
Yeah, no
like
doubt.
Literally over when Coach Keenan got here, as soon as he got here, he wiped it clean and went, if you can't cover, you can't play. And if you can't tackle, you can't play.
Yeah.
And he just weeded it out. And it was only the few guys he said could tackle and could cover. And everybody couldn't
everything
do both.
Everything changed quick, right?
It had to.
Yep.
It had to. So that's what I remember about Huff Daddy. He was kind of a milepost in that evolution for Texas, figuring out the new ecosystem of the Big 12 that had been terraformed by the air raid at the time.
Well, he got it done, so that's
no
what
doubt.
It's all about.
But Huff Daddy's in, no doubt about that.
I would think so, too.
Yeah, there's no question.
I got a quick comment, too, on the running back room. Eric Bieniemy, Kijana Carter, Kenneth Davis, DJ Dozier from Penn State, Warrick Dunn. I can't believe Warrick Dunn's not in there yet. Toby Gerhart, Monte Ball, Garrison Hurst, Craig Hayward, and Marshawn Lynch. I got a Garrison Hurst story real quick.
Oh, give me this.
So
this.
In Arizona, I was playing Arizona Fall League. It was a league where they send all the top prospects. You get ready. That'll tell you if you're ready to play in the big leagues and all that other stuff, right? So we were out at this club, and I was like, I saw him when he came in because he was playing for the Phoenix Cardinals at the time.
Yeah.
I saw him when he came in, and I was like, dang, okay, that's him. That's him. Walked up to him. I said, I'm going to go say what's up to him. Walked over to him. I said, what's up, Marshall Faulk?
What? Whoa, what? Hold up. Why?
Because remember, he and Marshall Faulk, they looked a lot alike.
Oh,
but I knew it was him. At that time.
Google to the rescue.
Yeah, come on. You go look at him.
Really?
So we're sitting in this club, Marshall. And I was telling my boy, I was like, hey, man. That's that running back for the Cardinals, man. I'm going to go say what's up. Hey, what's up, Marshall? He looked at me and kept walking. I was I said, did I just say Marshall?
He probably thought you were trolling him.
My boy looked at me and was like, "You just called that dude Marshall."
You just called that dude Marshall.
And it was Garrison Hurst.
Okay, let me find.
Yeah, you gonna look it up and you gonna be like,
"All right, I got a good picture there.
I see where it went wrong. I see where Harden went wrong."
Patrick, are you seeing this? Do you see any of this? Do you believe that?
He is not seeing it?
Okay, you know what?
Just a tad. We was in a club. It was dark.
Okay,
it was dark.
In the club.
We wasn't outside.
A lot of alcohol.
Lot going on. Lot going on in there.
So maybe in a flash?
Yeah, I was like, I know him.
Glasses on.
Okay. That's supposed to be the guy that I thought it was in my mind. I knew it was Garrison Hurst.
As a white man, all races look completely, people look completely different. None of y'all look alike at all. So I could clearly tell the difference.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, all running
my
backs.
My mind's telling me no.
Maybe all running backs with the lights on.
Maybe all running backs do.
I don't. Yeah. People always get me confused with, like, different people. So
they do.
I've
heard them say it to you.
Yeah, somebody's confused with Ahmad Brooks a lot of times. Somebody confused me with Snoop Daniel.
Like, okay. And I was like, you're never going to, and I'm never going to let that go for
me. Yeah, I'll never leave that down. Even Snoop would be offended
by that. Snoop was.
He was, actually.
That's right.
Nathan Basher, actually. Confused for Nasty Nate one time. I don't even correct him. I just go, it's nice.
Yeah,
to
it's
you.
Not good to see. You.
It's nice.
I'm
to
out.
You.
That's what Marshall. Hey, that's what Marshall Faulk did to me.
Oh man,
Garrison Hurst, man.
Wow,
he was playing for the Cardinals.
They
at
both
that
do
time.
Have a similar haircut, though.
They did.
It's like a bald, really bald, bald like taper.
Yeah,
like
you know
what I mean?
Way back taper.
Yes. Yeah. So I
see what's on his mind. Yeah,
that's no excuse, man.
I failed.
You
I failed miserably.
That was an epic.
But I threw
right
myself
there.
Out there. I let you know.
That is true. At least you admitted it.
I admitted it. I was wrong. Oh, your boy was wrong.
Man,
I was out there bad.
So Harge knows everybody but Garrison.
Apparently so.
For sure.
Well done.
For sure. Good
well
job,
said.
Patrick.
That's good. I like that. Okay, let's get to. I don't want to waste too much time because. I know you got Harsh Knock Life coming up. I want to get to Athlon Sports' Big 12 predictions just really quickly. So let's pump some Kool-Aid for the Longhorn football fans out there just really quick. Because I was looking at Athlon Sports. They're putting out a lot of their preseason teams. They did their All-Big 12 team. We brought that up a couple of weeks ago. They're doing like the All-American teams, things of that nature. So they have their All-Big 12 predictions. It's no mystery. They have Texas as the first team winning the Big 12.
Yep.
So I'll throw it out there. But the second team, honestly, it shouldn't be surprising, but a lot of people don't expect Oklahoma to have a bounce back. But they got Oklahoma having a hell of a bounce back as their second best team in the Big 12. And then they got K-State third. And
how do you feel about the top three?
I would probably put K-State ahead of Oklahoma.
If that was the number, that's exactly where I would look at it as well.
I would probably do that. Yeah. Honestly, I don't even know if I'd have Oklahoma to have. But honestly, after 1-2 with me with K-State, it still
kind of goes crazy.
Yeah, I think there might be a – but honestly, I think the surprise team of the Big 12, they have TCU at 4. I don't like TCU that much this year. But I will say they bring back the quarterback who started the year as a starter.
That,
Chandler Morris.
Your guy. You said it.
Right.
You said, I don't even know if Max Duggan going to win that position.
And he didn't. But then leading him to the national title and also leading them. I think was a Heisman finalist as well,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. So I guess I was right.
Yeah. You was on the money.
I don't know if I want to take credit for that. That might have been a bad thing you want to be right about. It's the wrong quarterback to be right about. But Texas Tech, they got 5th. And I think Texas Tech to me this year.
That would be the biggest surprise team for me. Not even surprised because we saw how good they got as the year went on. And he's not done anything wrong in recruiting either.
No, they've been hot in recruiting.
Yeah,
they've done
a really good job.
Dude, I like Texas Tech as a little sleeper team. I still take Texas and K-State as my two top teams.
Yep.
And I would never disrespect Oklahoma. Oklahoma's dominated this damn conference. They do have a new head coach. I like Venables, but he has not proven that he's a good head coach yet. So we got to wait and see on them. That's a Missouri State. You got to show me on the Oklahoma thing. But I would not be surprised if Oklahoma's in this thing because we like the system they have there with Jeff Lebby and Dylan Gabriel.
Correct.
And if Dylan Gabriel doesn't get hurt last year,
A lot of things are different. I told you I was real big on him from the very jump. I thought he was going to be one of the better players in the league. I thought the way in his relationship with the offensive coordinator, knowing each other, being able to come in, and if he doesn't get hurt, I think it's a totally different season for Oklahoma, because you know as well as I do, and Mike Leach has made this conversation before, RIP to Mike Leach, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything. He is the all of the above for your program to have success. And if you don't have that, then it's a problem. And we saw they didn't have that in the game against Texas.
No, they did not. I think, honestly, the Big 12 can have a lot of sleepers. The first of all, we don't know these teams coming in very well.
Right.
We don't know much about Cincinnati and BYU. Whoever knows about BYU?
Because them some grown men. Some grown that's coming men
paying mortgages. Right. They got families and kids, and they've been taking missions. They're doing it for the Lord. There's a lot going on there.
They make you believe.
Yes, they are. They're true believers.
Yes, they are.
And I will say, if I pick two random surprise teams, Iowa State. Dude, Iowa State, I still think Matt Campbell's a decent coach, even though I agree the luster seems to be off of him. But remember, they're the only team that had a quarterback start every game last year, and they were close in a lot of games, including the Texas game.
Yeah.
And they were 4-8 last year. I think they're going to have a bounce back. And what people don't realize is when they did have their run in the previous the 3 years prior to last year with Iowa State, with that Brock Purdy and Breece Hall and that crew and Charlie Kolar, they were recruiting at an all-time high. So they have the talent. They have more talent there than they've had probably ever. The cupboard is pretty stacked for them. We'll see what they can do with. And you know John Heacock in that defense.
Oh, my goodness.
That three high three down, hell, Sark still struggles with it.
For sure.
And it's one of the best.
I hope he's been working on that.
We all do.
Paul Christ.
We all
is that
do.
Your job? You're go right. get it. Figure
get
it out.
On that. exactly. And you know another team I'll take as a sleeper? I know it sounds Kansas.
Oh, man, you and I both.
If Jalen Daniels doesn't get hurt last year, he might be a Heisman finalist.
You and I both talked about that when we were watching him when we were at Lavaca Street. I was like, man, hold up. This dude is really balling. We saw it at the end of the season before.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came
against
out.
Against Texas.
And then he came out and showed that he was not a fluke. And now there he's going to come back. So, and Leopold is one of the better coaches in the league.
I do. This is a well-coached league, though.
Yeah.
It's a well-coached league between Klieman and between Leopold. Gundy is a hell of a coach. We all agree with that. I think it's a coach's league, if you will.
No doubt.
Some really renowned coach. All right, let's get to Harsh Knock Life. What you got for the people?
We're going to talk a little bit of baseball right now. I'll give you an update on the TCU-Arkansas game, but I'm going to talk a lot about the Texas Longhorns and, of course, the Texas Rangers.
All that and more coming up right now on Harsh Knock Life on
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, the main event of the evening for your entertainment and pleasure.
Mike, you have to be so combative.
Now, I probably wouldn't say this in front of white folk, but in front of your own speak, my man.
He has emotional anger issue problem.
Hey, are you Dirty Mike and the boys?
I'm Mike Lowry.
Michael!
Oh, that's funny. Michael!
Welcome back to the Smooth Soul Monday edition of Ball Don't Lie. That's where everybody's kind of trying to figure out if they're excited, they sad. But I think the smooth soul is important because everybody's a little bit happier around Austin, Texas, if you're a Texas Longhorn fan.
Right.
It's your boy, Hardball Hard. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hardball Hard. You can follow my man, Rob Babers, at Rob Babers. And, of course, you can follow the man behind the glass, at It's Patrick Davis. Also love it when you're a part of the show. And you can hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. And before we get into this edition of the Harsh Knocks Life, I wanted to talk a little bit about what I've seen so far with college baseball. I was talking to a good buddy of mine. He happens to be one of the head scouts for a team. And we were just talking about college baseball and how different it is. We talked a little bit about this last year about the age groups. all these guys are a lot older because of the draft and the way things have gone down with the Major League draft, while they've kind of shortened it up and not had as many rounds in the draft, you have a lot of guys that are coming back. A lot of players that are getting more opportunities to play at the college level. You're also getting guys that are not leaving the college level, and it's messing up the high school guys. Unless you're one of those five-star guys, it's real tough right now for a lot of the players that are getting these opportunities to go elsewhere. Yeah. So you may end up having to go to a JC, which is nothing wrong with that. Our man, Coach Ty Harrington, he was part that JC crew. And a lot of these headline coaches right now are former junior college head coaches. So you learn a lot at the JUCO level, and you make some things happen at that level as well. But it's been real refreshing to watch this Texas baseball team grow. We've had those ups and downs, and I've said this before. When you look at this baseball team, it has a lot to do with the makeup of the players. Yes, Coach Pierce is in charge, and you bring in a Woody Williams, you bring in a former head coach and Coach Rodriguez into the program. But a lot of these guys have to be leaders. You saw it from last year's team, too. Now, that's what the most interesting part for me is with this Texas baseball team, is you lost so much talent off of last year's team. You got the National Player of the Year that is gone, and what do? You replace him with a freshman who ends up batting over .330. on the year, playing first base.
Crazy.
And I still remember talking to Jared Thomas in the elevator at Globe Life. This guy was so excited to be playing college baseball. He smiled so big, and I asked him, I was like, how excited are you to get ready to play? By the way, TCU just defeated Arkansas. Well, not just defeated. They just got out of a double play, and they are leading Arkansas 7-4 as they head to the bottom of the eighth inning. Big double play by them. But you sit there and you look at how these guys have matured. He struggled at the very beginning of the year, and he came in and was able to adjust to the college baseball game, kind of calmed himself down, adjusted at the plate, and now he's one of the best hitters and hottest hitters in the country. You look at what Dylan Campbell's continued to do, a 38-game hitting streak right now. He just extended it. This guy was a guy that was part of the lineup last year, but you weren't expecting a ton from him. He did some great things. I told you a long time ago, Rod, he was one of my favorite players because of the way he goes about his business.
Yep.
There's not a lot of talking. He just goes out there and plays the game. Same thing with Eric Kennedy. You look at a Jack O'Dowd, who for the most part, yeah, he was okay for the season. He had like five different stances this year in the batter's box. And I was like, man, just get comfortable up there and go to work. Well, I think he found the perfect stance for him, because the last two weekends, he's been one of the hottest hitters in the country as well. And he's been playing great defense. So when you look at this team, you say, all right, what are they made up of? Well, they're made up of winning. That is what it's turned out to be. And you look at what LeBaron Johnson was able to do on Saturday night, pitching against Miami, one of the better teams in the nation, one of the toughest teams, and all he does is goes out there and handles his business, throwing 129 pitches, nine innings, seven hits, one earned run, and three walks and eight strikeouts.
Crazy.
But he had high-pressure, high-leverage situations that he created for himself, to be quite honest with you. Bunch of walks, wasn't really controlling the strike zone, but he found ways to get out of those innings every single time. And then you get a couple runs. You get a home run by Dylan Campbell, and you get another home run by Jack O'Dowd. Those are the things that you want to see at this time of the year. We always talk about it in basketball. We talk about it in football. You want to get hot at the right time. Nobody ever remembers what you do in September in football. They always remember what you do in November and December. And that's kind of the same thing that's happened with this Texas baseball team. Coach Pierce has pushed the right buttons with these guys. Yeah. He's given them the tough love. He's also given them a pat on the back. And he's let the players lead the team. And that is exactly what we've had this opportunity to pay attention to. I know we all came in here after that tournament in Arlington, and we were like, whoo, they're going to have to rally. But what did you say? most of the time when they faced adversity this season, they find a way to come back and battle through it. And getting that extra time off has kind of played into what the expectations were for this team. And then I also want to talk about what we saw from a lot of these players is the leadership group. They have shown some leadership for some tough times and what they were able to do and not do, and they figured it all out. And that's what I've been so impressed with this Texas baseball team. The Coral Gable Regional All-Tournament team, LeBaron Johnson was the pitcher of that team. Garrett Gilmet, who, by the way, Garrett Gilmet was struggling a little bit, got hit in the face.
Got hit in the face.
With the fastball, bro, and comes back. And first off, he wanted to fight the pitcher.
Yeah, we worried about him. He got him angry.
He was looking at him. Gave him some choice words. Yep. Got to first base. They ended up taking him out. And there was a rule that was posted that if a player was hurt in that situation where there's a concussion possibility involved, they pull the player out. They put in a courtesy runner. And the player was able to re-enter back into the game. That was the first time I've ever seen that rule in place. First time ever. That I ever saw that this was able to take place. In high school, in certain places, you got re-entry rules.
Yeah.
This was the first time I saw it at the college level. So him to come back in. And then after that, he comes back in and get like three hits. I mean, he got dialed in right back in there. Yeah, he was dialed back in. But Garrett Gilmet got the catcher. Jared Thomas made first team. As the first baseman, Dylan Campbell made it in the outfield. Designated hitter, Jalen Flores, because of his grand slam that he hit yesterday. And the MVP of the tournament was LeBaron Johnson.
Yeah, man.
LeBaron Johnson went out there and showed us what it was all about. The heart, the tenacity, the way that he was focused on everything is so important. I love the way that he was able to go back out there and pitch. And what I talked about before was, what would the bullpen do? The bullpen was outstanding. They didn't get a lot of work, but Zane Morehouse and Hurley was able to go out there and pitch well after Tanner Witt got a chance to pitch yesterday. Zane Morehouse, he got dealt with a lot of crap this year. He figured it out. He got it done, and he has a big-time arm, and he went and pitched well during that time. So it was very, very impressed by the way he went about his business. It was real exciting. So shout out to the Texas Longhorn baseball team. They wait the winner of tonight's game when it comes to Stanford and Texas A&M. If they lose, if Stanford wins, they're going to Stanford. Mm. If A&M wins, then there's a possibility. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say that Texas would be hosting. So we will see what's happening on that part.
So root for the Aggies.
Yeah, there's so many things. We got to root for the Aggies, as my man Rob Baber said.
Got to do it, man.
I wanted to bring this up as well. I wanted to talk a little bit about this Texas Rangers baseball team.
They are impressive.
They have put it together. They have done some great things in the field. And one of the things that has been very impressive to me, they are 38-20. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they have a winning streak of 3 games right now. They played well yesterday. Obviously, the Astros are behind them 35. There you go. 35-24. The Angels, above 500, guys. The Angels are above 500, and we're in June. Hey. So you're saying there's a chance. The Oakland A's are 12-49, by the way, fellas. 12-49. We're in the middle of June.
They're like major league team, the Indians in major league, except without all the funny parts.
Without the funny parts.
Yeah, just the sad parts of that movie.
It's so bad. That's crazy, so bad. Man. But I wanted to bring this up because we've always talked about plus, minus, and everything that goes into it. The run scored by the Texas Rangers is probably the most mind-blowing thing for me. Marcus Semien, who, by the way, has, I believe, a 23-game hitting streak going on right now, leading the major leagues. He is leading the major leagues in runs scored with 54. Adolis Garcia is second with 47. Nathaniel Lowe, the first baseman, he is third with 43 runs. Mm. Josh Young is fourth with 42 runs. Aaron Judge is fifth with 42 runs. Think about that. Their lineup is producing runs and RBIs every single week.
That's crazy.
Day in, day out. And I believe I heard this stat too. They've had 16 games this year where they've scored over 10 runs in the game. This is the Rangers, guys. I know we talked about the pitching staff and we talked about some of the other things. I think the biggest adjustment and the biggest part of their success has been the Bruce Bochy as the manager.
Really?
Bruce Bochy coming in. He's a totally different mindset of what they had with Woodward.
Mm-hmm.
But Bochy is a champion. Bochy has been around it. He's seen the talent. He puts them in the right way. And he comes in every single day with the same attitude. You never know when he's too high or too low, and he speaks to them as men. And that, to me, has been the biggest story. They got Corey Seager back, who, by the way, hit another home run yesterday. Marcus Semien is playing probably some of the best baseball he's played in a very long time. And they've got youth, and they've got experience. And this is an exciting time. I think the Rangers are here to stay. I told you that earlier.
Yeah.
I think they're here to stay. But we got to see what happens in the back end of their bullpen for later in the season as well, if they're going to make a move to go and get somebody. Because they got a ton of prospects in the minor leagues. The Express are playing good baseball. Frisco is playing good baseball. Hickory, all the team down home or down south or whatever the name of their team is in the minor league, they have talent all the way through their system, which they did not have for a while. They were almost like the Astros, where they went through their little lulls to where they struggled enough, they were trading away all of these prospects. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting a chance to see the fruits of the labor, and I love the fact that Bruce Bochy is leading this squad.
Yeah, I believe the run differential, they're outscoring their opponents 152 runs through the first 58 games, which is
astonishing.
Crazy.
And the only team that's even close to them in that situation is the Tampa Bay Rays. Remember, the Rays started off, they were undefeated for a long time.
Who they'll play later this week.
Who they'll play later. Yep.
But that is the highest run differential, I believe, for any team since like 1940. It's crazy through the first 58 games. Crazy. The Rangers are for real. We're past that discussion now.
Yep, we are past
that. There's no doubt. They are the real deal. Can they win a division?
That's the biggest thing.
Can they beat the Astros?
Well, the Astros still, they just keep plugging along.
3.5 behind.
Yeah, they just keep, they're drifting behind them.
3.5 behind.
You know what I'm saying?
And the Astros can't really score any runs.
They cannot.
They can't get any runs.
They are struggling.
But they
need Altuve to get healthy.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah, it's a big point. It's a long season, though.
It is.
There you go. Good stuff there from Harsh Knocks Life. We'll come back. We'll get into Off the Record. The Machines have finally turned on their masters.
Uh-oh.
We'll discuss it on the other side. Right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
D.D. Mega Doodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get they bring the income.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! F-ing thing sucks!
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. I'm going to table the other story we were going to get to because we don't have a ton of time here. I think it might need a much longer segment to get into. But there is another Off the Record that I think would fit into this time segment that we have, a short time that we have in this segment. So Josh Hart, NBA player Josh Hart,
mm-hmm.
plays for the Knicks. He's a guard. He tweeted this out about a week ago. Now it's the 5th, about a week ago. This is the tweet. I don't know why he tweeted it out, but here it is. Have y'all ever tasted y'all significant other's breast milk asking for a friend? All right. De'Aaron Fox, a lot of NBA guys responded to this, expressing their disappointment. Some also expressing similar curiosity. Even Stephen A. Smith got on him. Dan Orlovsky tweeted out, 100% done that. Doug Gottlieb tweeted out, breast milk question requires a follow-up from the bottle or from the tap. Actually, I agree with that. I'm not opposed to that question.
Fill it out.
Jalen Brunson unfollowed Josh right after this. Hilariously. Okay. Well, I actually remember, I want to say Trey Elling got into this discussion once. And this, and I want to say he or somebody on his show, they actually tasted the breast milk.
As a father of three?
Yeah.
Have not.
Never? Never.
No. Never been curious about it? No. There was never a curiosity.
I don't drink milk.
It might have been an accident, though, on one time.
I didn't want to know about that. I'm not going to listen to you describe the accident on the show. No. I didn't want to know about the accident.
I didn't know you were still lactating.
I got the same question Doug Gottlieb had about the accident, actually. Same question, all right? But I think he talked about this. I don't like milk, so I would not like it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't drink milk.
Because it's white.
White condiments of any kind, and no white liquors. That includes all milk, of course.
Yeah.
Almond, breast, whatever.
Okay.
Doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
But I would say, I think it is it is very valuable, but not just the babies. Because I hear on the black market, you can get a ton of money. For HG.
On the black market? What?
Yes. Oh, breast milk gets used for bodybuilders. They like the HGH in it.
Oh, no.
Apparently it has a ton of HGH in it. And it bodybuilders will, they covet it on the black market.
Interesting.
Really? You didn't know this?
No, not at all. I don't hang out with bodybuilders. Yeah, so.
That's another reason I don't need to lift weights.
What?
Just already. It's like, you know what? I may be fat, but at least I'm not secretly trying to go through illegal means to get...
Is it illegal?
Well,
I don't know.
It's on the black market.
Well, you said it's on the black market.
I mean, technically, I'm sure there are legalities you can't sell unpasteurized milk.
Yeah, it's like
so
that kind
I know
of stuff,
from a cow or from other things,
yeah.
You can't sell unpasteurized milk.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that falls in to the legalities of it. I think most cops would just say ooh.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ever been prosecuted for buying breast milk. Maybe. Someone says the white market. There you go. Well done.
I like
good
that.
Dad joke there. I like that. But yeah, no, it is.
My boy just sent me a text that you're dumb. Talk about me. I was like, I think it was an accident.
It was an accident. Like I said, I don't need you to go into detail. I think I know where that story is going. But yeah, I'm just curious. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and he may hit me up too, I want to say Trey Elling actually did.
Well, somebody just said that on air, Chad Hastings tried Trey Elling's wife's breast.
That's what it was.
With her permission.
Yes. Okay.
They always doing some bits, man.
I knew it was on Trey. I knew it was on when Trey was on that Trey had somebody. So was Chad Hastings who did it?
I guess so.
Chad Hastings had another woman. Hold up. Now we got a whole other discussion we're getting into. Would you text Chad?
Chad, I got to find out, dog.
Let me just
Chad,
apologize.
Let me know for sure.
Did Chad's wife also, did she? Did really? That's what I'm saying. Like, did she actually agree to this too?
I don't know. I'm about to find out.
Just apologize for all white guys for what we do when we're bored. Good Lord.
Okay, so my bad. If it wasn't, it was. I knew somebody on that show did it because I remember listening to it and like, man, this is wild. But it was Chad.
I'm checking right now.
Our boss.
Yep, our boss.
So our boss was drinking another man's wife's breast milk?
That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to figure
on
it out
radio?
Right now.
Okay,
I'm already texting him. Okay. I'll let you know at some point.
All right, I need to know this, and if it happened, then I need Chad to give me details. We need to relive this experience. Do we have the audio of this?
I'm sure somewhere.
Might need to replay
I'm
that.
Sure.
I mean, that's,
I'm sure.
That might be worth reliving. I had to hit up BK and see if you can find this hidden audio of Chad.
Yeah.
Drinking breast milk live on
air.
Wow. See, I didn't know that's where it was going, people, so I apologize.
Sorry, guys.
We come back. We're talking about the NBA Finals, Miami Heat winning game 2 right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.